Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hot route! Red 7, Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the Big Bob halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide-open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
Oh, I'll get you the ball!
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money, y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man, jacket. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush, he's Adam Luckett, and we are brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, where everybody is feasting this week, Luckett. I mean, I think they're spoiling. We're recording 11 Personnel at 11 a.m. and I'm pretty sure there's basketball being played somewhere. We've got Maction tonight. It's incredible. A wonderful time of the year.
My favorite week of the year.
Oh man, it's great. So go on over to Prize Picks right now. You can visit them online at prizepicks.com or download the app to your phone. It's a very easy to use platform. It's available in most states to play. And what's great is on Feast Week, they're giving you a little extra cheddar. A little extra cheddar cheese to sprinkle on top of your mashed potatoes. I usually just go with gravy. You can also go with gravy. They're celebrating, though, not with gravy, but with tacos. Today is Taco Tuesday. So if you place an entry with a taco on it, you get a discounted player projection. So they're sliding you deals like Robert Lewandowski for Bayern Munich. I know that'll be over with by the time you hear this, but that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with here. Maction tonight. We got the season finale and we got a lot of college basketball. Going to be a great college basketball game tonight between the number one and number two teams in the country. So download Prize Picks today, use the promo code Personnel, get in on the action, because there's a lot this week in every sport everywhere, highlighted by Saturday's game at Papa Murphy's Cardinal Stadium between the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats. And Luckett, the more I talk about this game, the more I think Kentucky's just going to mow those bastards down.
It's a very interesting litmus test for recruiting and for kind of the SEC-ACC storyline. We hear a lot. We hear Mark Stoops talk a lot about how, you know, this league is different. You know, there's a reason, you know, teams are losing some of these games, and then you see them in the non-con. They usually handle their business. I think that's true for this week. I think when you look at the roster, Kentucky has a better roster, more talented roster. I don't think you can really argue that. Now, it turns out Louisville has the best player on the field, best college football player on the field. He might not end up being the best NFL player out of this bunch of guys playing on Saturday night, but he's the best college football player that will be on the field on Saturday. And he's kind of, Malik Cunningham has just raised everyone else around him. And I talked about it here on 11 Personnel multiple times. He's probably one of the biggest MVPs just to his team in college football.
And to interrupt you quickly, not like the best player, but the most valuable to his team. That's like the classic MVP debate. If you ever want to get into like a first takey type talk at the barbershop. Mm-hmm. So we might, he might be the best, but he's not the most valuable player. I think Cunningham, you're right, is the most valuable player. I'm wondering, I didn't do the math. I'm sure he takes up a significant percentage of their total statistics.
Yeah, I mean, leads in rushing attempts. Obviously, the passing numbers, what he does. But, Nick, you go back, he missed series against Wake Forest. He missed two series against Clemson. Throughout his career, he's had issues staying 100% healthy and not missing playing time. 2 years ago, he got knocked out of the Kentucky game. Like, if he don't go out in those games, they probably win those. So, like, you can make the argument Louisville is the best 6-5 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's goal is to make them the best 6-6 team in the country on Saturday night.
Hey!
But I'm looking at this game, and it's looking like both teams are going to move the ball. Like, there's not – I don't think there's going to be a lot of three and outs on Saturday. Really, the game's going to kind of come down to – for Kentucky's in, Scott Satterfield even said this in his press conference this week. We are a big play offense. What we do is get big plays. You look at some of the efficiency numbers. Overall, Louisville ranks 88th in success rate. That means they're falling behind the chains a lot. Their running backs have a success rate lower than Kavassier Smoke. And we've talked about Kavassier Smoke's inefficiency this season. When they give the ball to the backs, which is what this whole offense with Satterfield is based off, the outside zone, establishing the outside zone. When they get the ball to the backs, they more times than not, they're falling behind the chains. And so what they've been able to make up for, though, is just with Cunningham has been able to distribute the ball to multiple receivers. I think they got four guys over 30 catches. Another guy's their big play threat, Tyler Harrell, is average over 30 yards per reception. When they go deep, they're going to him.
I've got to correct you. They only have two guys over 30 catches. Okay, four guys 25? Over 20.
Yeah, okay, four guys over 20. And then Harrell's got, what, 17, 13, 17, somewhere 14, in there?
Yeah.
14. Yeah. But he's their big play guy. I think, like, nine receptions are over 15-plus yards.
Yeah, he's third in reception – or, like, six in receptions, but third in receiving yards.
Yeah.
Big play guy.
Yeah. He's their big play guy. And so they're looking for big plays.
He leads them in receiving touchdowns.
Cunningham's running element creates that too. He's up there as one of the most efficient runners in the country. He's got a success rate over nearly 55% running the football, which is higher than Chris Rodriguez. That's really, really good. And then he's got 36 carries of over 10-plus yards. So he's dangerous, and he does it in both ways. So really the key to this game, I think obviously you want to slow down the running backs, but just don't give up the huge chunks, which is what Kentucky – it's kind of what they build their defense off of, is limiting big plays. And that you do that against Louisville, I think it's going to be hard for this offense to go on a bunch of 8-play, 75-yard drives. They have to get the 30-yard plays to score over and over. If you can limit that, I think you're going to be in pretty good shape. But we said the same thing going in the Tennessee game.
Right, right. And that was what I was going to get to next. Like it, Louisville is no Tennessee. At least Tennessee is.
Yeah, Styles makes fights. This is going to be a different type of fight.
Right, right. So please explain to me why, yes, Louisville is explosive like Tennessee in that they need to have big plays to succeed, but how they do it in a much different way. And I think the first way is just they're getting a lot more explosive runs from Lake Cunningham. Hooker got some of them, but the Cunningham 10-yard runs have been 40 and 50-yard runs.
Well, you're not going to be in these exotic formations where you spread out to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having to defend all this grass vertically. Louisville's using a lot of – they do a lot of, like, condensed formations, and they use a lot of motion. Jet motions. They'll do the orbit motion with a guy around, and then they make you defend option looks a lot. They'll run kind of a zone read triple option where he'll read the end, and if you pull it, he's got a speed option off that, and they'll run play action stuff off all these option looks. And so it's a big misdirection offense. And especially with that outside zone, you got to flow left, but then you got to be able to turn back because the play's going to the right on the play pass. So they make you – where Tennessee, it's more – they make you defend vertically more. I think Louisville makes you defend more east and west. And then when they get you flowing, they try to get behind you and hit a deep shot or sneak a wheel route out with the back. And so, like, your safeties are really important against Louisville. Your defensive linemen being able to flow, and then your safeties are really important. Like your safeties and really your line, you probably your inside linebackers need to make a lot of tackles.
Well, and I was going to say too, Jordan Wright, getting him back is significant. J.J. Weaver, those guys, making sure they're crisp in that, like, a lot of times their assignment is just going to be hit the quarterback. But, we've seen J.J. Weaver at times force the pitch and still be able to make the tackle. Like, those kind of – that's where they can become game changers, game wreckers.
Having Wright being able to make – where J.J. doesn't have to play 60 snaps.
Yeah.
Is the biggest thing there. You can split and have a fresh edge there throughout the entire game. It's going to help a lot. Having Marquand McCall in there is going to be huge to anchor in the middle. But I think it's important to remember, like, Louisville's got a pretty good offensive line. It's like one of the better ones I think Kentucky's played this season. Caleb Chandler might be the best offensive – he might be one of the best offensive linemen in the ACC. He's one of the best guards in the country. Cole Bentley's a super senior center, just solid. Two solid tackles. And then Brian Hudson, transfer from Virginia Tech, former four-star recruit. He's like just their swing guy inside, so he'll come in, play guard, any of the guard spots or center. And so they've got a pretty solid offensive line, and that's helped them a lot because it's kept Cunningham clean in the pocket for most of the season. They don't give up a lot of sacks. The running game with the running backs hasn't been great, but mostly they're keeping Cunningham clean, which is most important. So it's not a – this is not 2 years ago where Louisville had, like, the best player on the field with Becton last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had obvious donkeys out there on the offensive line. Like, they don't have that this year. And so Kentucky's pass rush has been really good. But this week, it's you're not worried about sacks. It's discipline pass rush.
Yeah, yeah. Making Malik Cunningham throw the football.
Keeping him contained in the pocket. And if he gets out, you've got guys there to corral him. And then, like, your safeties are really important, knowing when to, like, come up after him, when to stay back. You know, that's when some big plays can happen, is when he kind of gets in sandlot ball and the play breaks down. And so he's really dangerous, really slippery. And really the game is how much can you corral him. If you can corral him, I think you're going to – defensively, you're going to have a good day. I'm very interested – it's a big game for Brad White, it feels like. Very interested to see the plan he comes up with and what they can put out there on Saturday.
One other thing that you haven't explicitly mentioned yet, but I think another significant difference that you have to remark between Louisville and Tennessee is that Louisville's going to want to have the ball. It's not like Tennessee where we're running to the line, we're getting to it as quickly as possible. Satterfield, there might be a tempo here too at times, kind of like how Kentucky will go fast out of a huddle to try to catch you off guard. After like a big play or something, but for the most part, they want to possess the ball. They want Kentucky's defense out there on the field. So to kind of go back to your point about, you know, having guys like McCall and Wright back to really be able to spell people and keep them fresh. There was a point, I don't know if it was just us talking after the game Saturday night or what, but the defense is as well rested as it's been all year.
You look at the snap counts, and they're really good outside of probably Josh Pascal, Corker, and Carrington Valentine. And then two inside linebackers, I would say. But especially on that front, they've rotated a lot of bodies. They should be pretty fresh. You've seen that play out, I think, the last 2 weeks, but competition, obviously. You know, you got to see it against better teams. So we'll see. One thing I'm interested in, Nick, Kentucky's rush defense overall has been pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. No one's ran for 200-plus yards against them. Now, Georgia could have. They just didn't have enough snaps.
Right.
A lot of that's based on Kentucky does a good job of shrinking the game, limiting snaps. But Louisville's ran for over 205 of the last – or excuse me, 6 of the last 7. Obviously, the Cunningham factor is huge. Him by himself has just been a freak running the ball here lately. So, seeing if that holds up. If that holds up and you make Louisville pass happy, I know, like, Kentucky, you necessarily wouldn't be super comfortable – in that, but that's not where Louisville's super comfortable either. They don't want to drop back 35 times.
No, they do not. And I think in your best case scenario, you're applying pressure kind of up the middle to make him throw the football quickly instead of bounce around.
Kentucky, three of his last 5 games have been 100-plus yards. His first 7, he didn't reach 100 once.
So
this has kind of been a later thing that's developed for them.
And I think And hell, he was still leading them in rushing for a lot in the beginning of the year, too. They were just that bad rushing the football. They tried. They were rotating guys around. The one guy who our guy Trevor thought was going to be good going into that 2019 game, Akeem, what's his name? He ended up transferring into the portal.
Hassan Hall.
Hassan Hall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've charted about 30 running backs here this season. Most every SEC back and most of kind of some bigger name backs. Louisville's two backs are last place in success rate. Trevion Cooley and Jalen Mitchell. Jalen Mitchell is way down there at 34%, which is really bad. So it is a very inefficient running attack with the backs, and they don't get a lot of chunk plays either. Like Kenneth Walker's down there low in success rate, and so is Tyler Beatty, but both of those guys get a ton of chunk plays.
Yeah.
Cooley and Mitchell aren't really getting that. So that's like you want them to run the ball with those backs.
I'm fine with them running quarterback design run as well, too. Kentucky's been pretty disciplined on those Q runs. I know that they haven't faced the caliber of athlete as Malik Cunningham when it comes to a heavy percentage of those.
The Florida game is huge, I think, this week. Like, everybody wants to dog on Florida, but you remember Florida coming in that game was just lethal running the ball. Now, they didn't have the vertical threat. Like, Kentucky wasn't scared of the vertical threat against Florida, where they're probably going to have to be more against Louisville. But Kentucky handled that running game for Florida pretty well. Now, Louisville does some different things, but they do have some option principles similar, and Kentucky handled that very, very well. And they were willing to give up some things in the pass game, like the intermediate stuff, the 10 to 15-yard throws, and just live with that with Jones in the pocket. I think that could be kind of – you could see a similar game plan against Florida. But that's perfect because like Emory Jones had a high passing success rate, but Kentucky stuffed the run and they didn't, and Jones never really challenged them vertically. And that's why they had a huge game that day.
How many points did they score in that game? Oh yeah. Seven. So I think, I don't think you'll see that replicated exactly, but you're right in that let's force Cunningham to throw the football, just force him to throw the football, keep him bottled up as best you can. Keep him in that design run game where I think it gets where things really fell apart. And I think the wide splits factored into that as much as anything were some of the scrambles against Tennessee that you didn't see against Florida where it's an obvious passing situation. And I'm curious, Luckett, in your humble opinion, if you get the Brad Whites, if you get the sticks, as the kids like to say, are you a let's bring the heat guy? What is your preferred method of applying pressure against a quarterback that can scramble?
I just look at, they're not all scrambling quarterbacks are the same. They're all in different schemes. The way Louisville plays, like they're just going to, the way they move with the misdirection, they're going to get you with numbers sometimes. What I don't want to do is I don't want to give up the huge chunk plays. I want to keep everything in front. I know people hate it, but that's what I would want to do in this game. Keep everything in front, make them stay patient. And then when you look at their scoring opportunity offense, when they get inside the 40, Louisville's hasn't, they've had bad moments this year. When they've lost, they haven't been able to finish drives. Meanwhile, Kentucky's defense has been one of the best in the country in that area. They haven't been great in the red zone, but from the 40 down, they've been excellent at getting stops. It won them the Florida game. It won them the South Carolina game. For Kentucky, that's what I want. I want Louisville's going to move the ball. They move the ball on Clemson. Clemson's got one of the best defenses in the country. They're going to get yards, but you got to stop them there. So that's really what I want to do. Get in your cover three, get in what Kentucky does, what they're usually playing is at the beginning of the season and play that way. I do think at times you got to, because if you run zone all game, players are going to get open eventually if you don't have a pass rush. So you kind of have to see how you're doing against that O-line early with the rush. Obviously their simulated pressures are going to be big, but you have to be careful with those simulated pressures because you can get out of gaps easy.
That's what I was going to say, especially you get like a twist and you just get kind of blown up. That can be bad.
But I wouldn't be surprised if you just see a lot of drop eight into just regular pass rush. That's why the edge could be important. Cause if you can keep a guy fresh for that edge rush, it could help a lot.
Right. I will say though, when they do dial them up at the right time, sometimes you just get like a, Pascal running in free. Like those are.
Yeah. I mean, the nickel pressures with Vito was kind of what I would be going with. because you need, when you're coming after Cunningham, you need speed. Now, mm-hmm. you wish Vito Tisdale played a little bit more under control, but you need speed in that. So, like, the pressures for me would come from that and probably the inside linebackers, getting guys in there that can at least have a puncher's chance of at least slowing him down till the cavalry comes.
Right, right. And applying pressure and keeping that outside shoulder free, playing with leverage, as Stoop says, leverage the damn ball. Keeping him in that pocket is imperative, because as soon as he starts wiggling free. Easier said than done,
though. Like, he's a good player. He's going to get out. When he gets out, you just got to make sure you turn a 40-yard gain into a 20, or you don't let a 20-yard gain become a 40-yard gain. You don't let a 12 become a 27.
So my question is, what's the word I'm looking for? Magic number in this game. Because we're going to switch over and talk about UK's offense for their defense. How many points does UK's offense need to be able to score? Because Louisville's going to score points. Make no mistake about it. They're going to score some. I'm thinking, like, I don't know if it's exactly a race to 30, but it's going to be it's going to be more of a limited possession game. So is it 27 versus 27?
No, I still think it's above 30. I'd say 31 to 34 because you have to add in, like, Louisville has over 60 something plays of 20 plus yards, 63 to be exact, top 20 in the country. They're probably going to get one or two, you know. So they score that way, and then you have to add in turnovers in a big rivalry game. Cold weather, long sleeves equals more fumbles. Nick, on Saturday night, it's going to be because they're wearing probably a guy wearing long sleeves. I'm worried about being cold.
A lot of SoFo kids on that Louisville roster. A lot of Florida kids.
So that happens more in cold weather.
Hey, and to bring up turnovers, because that's going to be the name of the game for the UK offense. Louisville hasn't turned it over in how many weeks? Two, three? It's that might be due to put the ball in the turf.
They're plus three, but this is a perfect example of turnover margin, Nick. Last year, Louisville was minus 12, lost 24 turnovers, and it led to them losing a bunch of games. Kentucky's been able to win a bunch of games with
minus 14, I think.
Yeah, their turnover issues. So that just shows you kind of where they're at. Yeah, Louisville, let's see here, has 12 turnovers lost all season. They haven't lost one in 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. They're due.
Clemson, Syracuse, Duke was clean football. They haven't had a multi-turnover game loss since they lost four against Boston College. But they kind of survived that because their defense forced three takeaways.
So there's going to be some things that are inevitable in this game. One, Louisville's going to get, they're going to get some chunk plays here and there, and it's going to lead to points. Two, Kentucky's probably going to turn it over. All right. I mean, that's just what we've dealt with. Three, Mike Cunningham's probably going to get hurt at some point. He's probably going to miss a series here and there, right? I mean, can you think of a big game in his career where he hasn't?
Yeah, you hate to say it, but Clemson, Wake Forest, both big games like this one. Duke, he's throwing up on the sideline.
The last time he played Kentucky?
It's just been a thing for him his whole career, and especially with how much he's running the ball lately, and especially if Kentucky
cold stuffs weather
to run with the backs, he's going to have to run more.
So stingers, it just
– grounds harder.
Yeah. I mean, so some things to consider before entering the game. But I do want to talk about the UK offense, because as much as this game has been talked about Malik Cunningham, it feels like that – the Louisville side, they don't want to acknowledge that Kentucky actually has a good offense. It's something that's gone largely ignored. When if Malik Cunningham is the best player on the field, if you look at other offensive weapons, Kentucky has the next best five or six or seven. Fair?
Yeah, no doubt. And when you look at Louisville, when they've played the balanced offenses, Ole Miss, UCF, Wake Forest, NC State, those teams have kind of given it to them. Ole Miss, 7.8 yards per play. UCF, 6.5 yards per play. Wake Forest, right at 6 yards per play. NC State, over 6 yards per play. And even NC State's kind of got a bad running offense. So Kentucky's probably one of the most balanced offenses they've seen. Quietly, Nick, Kentucky's up in the top 25 in yards per play offense.
Oh, man. You'll love
Kentucky's
to see it,
ran for 225 plus yards six times this season, gone over 300 twice. We talk about Louisville, how dangerous they are rushing the ball. Louisville's only reached that number three times, 225 plus. Now, Louisville's run defense has been good, and they did a really good job shutting down some one-dimensional offenses. Like Syracuse got one of the best rushing offenses in the country. They did nothing. They stopped a bad Clemson rushing offense. Boston College was able to lean on them because they have a good offensive line, but their backs just didn't have a great game, and then their quarterback was just god-awful in that game. So they really got to focus on the run in that. But against balanced teams, they've had some issues. Now, no one's really totally gutted them on the ground, really.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game similar to Tennessee where Kentucky can go out and be like, all right, we're going to establish the run and we're going to get 230, 240 on the ground, 220, 230, 240 on the ground, we think, which would be the highest they've ever given up because Louisville hasn't given up more than 212 this season, and that hasn't happened since September. So they're doing some good things on defense, but you look at kind of the matchups and how Kentucky's playing, Kentucky should be able to lean on them, and I think they should be able to have success on the ground with both Will Levis and Chris Rodriguez. And then in the passing game, Louisville is out Keytrell Clark, who's their best defensive player. Their corners are struggling pretty tough as much as Kentucky is. You look at the PFF grades, they're very similar. Kentucky's corners and Louisville's corners. That's advantage Wandell Robinson. I think he's going to have a huge game. I don't think they really have an answer for him. Really, their answer is going to be trying to confuse Levis and come up with interceptions. That's really what Louisville, I think, is going to be looking for. So, like, we talked about Louisville moving the ball. Kentucky's consistently going to move the ball against this Louisville defense. I feel pretty good about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be about protecting the ball and then finishing drives. They've been great at finishing drives all season. Last 2 weeks haven't been great against subpar competition. Against Tennessee at the end, they didn't finish when they could have. So, that's a little concern. But if they get back to really being efficient finishing drives, they're going to have a big, big day on offense.
Yeah, and man, I didn't realize the yards per play. I knew they were getting up there with just total touchdowns scored. Kentucky's also been much more efficient in the red zone and on third down this year, something that Louisville can't say the same thing. They haven't been great at situational football. That's why they only have six wins. Whereas Kentucky, for the most part this year, I think you take out that Tennessee game, pretty good at the situational football.
I know the competition is bad, but if you look into like some of the advanced metrics, Kentucky did what they're supposed to do against Vandy and New Mexico State. They, from a down-to-down basis, they kicked their ass, both of them. Now, they fell asleep against Vanderbilt in the second half, and Vandy scored on 2 fourth downs. When really, if you play out season averages, that should probably be half. They should probably only scored one on one of them.
Yep.
And then against New Mexico State, one touchdown was a scoop and score. The other, they only got 3 field goals the rest of the time. And then Kentucky had a fumble inside the five and an interception in the end zone.
And a turnover on downs. No, wait. Yeah, that was the – okay, yeah.
And then Kentucky moved the ball twice, long sustained drives against Vanderbilt and had to settle for field goals. So, like – and then you go back to Tennessee, they really did whatever they wanted on offense most of that game. So, like, quietly, the offense is playing pretty well. I'm very excited to see what it does here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that gets me back to just the ACC, SEC recruiting.
Yes.
That Jimmy's and Joe's. Like, this is very much a Jimmy's and Joe's game. And that we see it in bowl season and we see it in the non-conference. And if you look at the SEC this year, they've really kind of handled their business in the non-con. The only real, like, bad loss I can think of was Mississippi State losing to Memphis. But if you dig into that game, that was very fluky how they lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got the punt and all that stuff.
I mean,
and then you had Mississippi State put it on. NC State too.
Yeah, and then you had Mississippi State put it on NC State at home. But you look, Ole Miss hammered Louisville, Alabama hammered Miami. You know, we can go from the top, but even if you look in the middle, I think you can find some things. Tennessee played Pitt close. They didn't have Tennessee starting quarterback for half that game. They didn't put Hooker into the end or the middle of the second quarter, I think. If they have Hooker from the start, they probably beat Pitt. So I think there's some signs there that the SEC has been – like it's better than normal. I think the top maybe not as great, but they're in the middle. It's the middle class is really strong this season. And does that play out against a Louisville team that's feasted here lately? But Kentucky's done the same thing too, so you're just going to have to wait and see.
And I love to – like I for this particular podcast, I have done my best to take off my – bro Chacho, let me just be a big blowhard gas bag, Kentucky's gonna kick Louisville's ass kind of mentality. But that's a big part of this game. That's a big part of this rivalry. And that's a big part of the mentality that Stoops has brought into these games. I mean, that NC State game last year in the Gator Bowl, Kentucky didn't play high-quality football. They just beat up NC State for four quarters. They had a mentality that we're bigger. We're the big bag dogs on the block, and you ain't going to come.
Virginia Tech, too. Just the, yeah, like, trash-talking element in these games has been significant. Like,
yeah.
You can tell it's like we're SEC and we're superior, and they go out and talk down to these opponents. Yeah,
they treat them quite literally like a little brother, like you were playing the guys from down the street that you don't respect at all, and you want to remind them that this is your state, mm-hmm, and you own them. It's a very much a respect thing. It's kind of how Tennessee had the upper hand for the longest time in that rivalry. And I kind of brought it up to Stoops on Monday, and Stoops was like, you know, frankly, we haven't been playing as physical as I want. That is going to be something they are going to be hammering home all week long, having Bully back, getting more snaps for him. That's going to be huge.
The trash talk element, it's big when you got 50 in there.
There's no doubt about that. I think there's also a little bit of Chris Rodriguez has been really good this year, but a lot of that praise has been dialed back because of the way he's played. We also haven't gotten the kind of overwhelming bloviating for the big blue wall because it just hasn't, you haven't felt that as much. Whereas, you know, and they've tried some other things, but I do get the sense that there's going to be a lot of inside zone. We're just going to shove it down your throat.
I'm just going to go through Louisville's front right now. At nose, 6'2", 290-pound redshirt senior, former low three-star recruit. His backup is a transfer from Southern Miss. The other guy playing there is another low three-star recruit, sophomore.
6'2",
starting at their boundary tackle spot is a former walk-on out of Eastern High School.
Mm.
255 pounds. Okay, now he kind of rotates with Tiberius Peterson, who's a super senior, 260 pounds. Yaya Diaby is a junior college transfer. He's been really good for them this year. 6'4", 255, plays the same position as Josh Baskell. But his backup is a low three-star true freshman, Ashton Galati, who they put in kind of passing rush situations. And another guy who plays in that front right there is a second-year walk-on, Mason Reiger, 250 pounds, out of Illinois. So it's very much kind of a duct tape approach here to this defense. They still don't have the bodies on the front yet, but they've been able to hold up well. Diaby has been awesome for them this season. And then at safety, they've got kind of a run-filling safety in Kendrick Duncan, a Georgia Southern transfer, who's 6'4", 205. He's kind of built like a Nickel Sam-type linebacker. He's been really good. But then even their Nickel Sam players will walk on, Jack Fagot, who's like 210 pounds. And so now, and then their edge rusher, Yasir Abdullah, is really good. He's been, mm-hmm, a pretty good rusher, yeah, but he's kind of lighting the britches. He's listed at 235. Now, Louisville's website is not great. Some of these weights could be way off, but I'm just going by what they have.
Yeah. Oh, you all should have heard Luckett complaining about it in the car ride.
Yeah.
It's Mickey Mouse operation over there.
Yeah. Not great. So, you know. And like a corner, like this is a small defense. Like Greedy Vance is their top corner. He's 5'10, 155. Like he's going to look small next to Wandell Robinson.
155 pounds playing college
according football to their website. Okay. So, I mean, there's that to this defense. I mean, we'll see with all that. But I just think, you know, like there was a very interesting comment by Stoops, you know, which kind of goes in hand with what we're talking about here. It's just that we're going to come in and play some bully ball with them. And then when you establish the run, you get the play pass going, it's just going to be hard for them to stop Kentucky. But I think Kentucky's going to score. You know, I think they should be pretty good as long as they don't turn the ball over. The key to the game is just defensively, can you just slow down Louisville at all? You know, mm-hmm, I think that's a big concern with how your pass defense has been, especially if they get off to a hot start similar to Tennessee. Do you just not – you get in a funk and aren't able to get out of it? All that type of stuff.
Right, right. Man, the thing to like it to kind of go back to the part where I like to bloviate and be a gas bag, all this talk, all this Louisville positive energy that we've received over the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, it's all the result of wins over Syracuse on Lamar Day and a very bad Duke team.
And playing Clemson close.
And blowing, but like they blew that game. They were up
13-0 Clemson in the fourth quarter. Goal line stand at the end for Clemson to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, they blew that. Absolutely blew it. And yet they get just the prey. Oh, Louisville, they're back. They look at the cards now. And then you put the shoe on the other foot, and Kentucky does the same thing. They beat the brakes off somebody. They have a chance to beat a solid team late. But all of a sudden, it's all woe is me in Lexington. It's because, finally, for the first time in a long time, Kentucky has raised the bar and Louisville has lowered it. The bar is very low now. And it's fallen fast under Scott Satterfield. It has. And now the shoe is on the other foot. Except, oddly enough, Kentucky still gets tagged as the underdog in this game by Las Vegas. And I'm sure that the folks over at the Joe Kraft Football Training Facility will love to see that. Absolutely love to see that.
Yeah,
while Kentucky has the chance to do something only five other teams. They could be the fifth team to win 9 games in a regular season since 1949. They have a lot on the line, and they're going to let this Louisville team, this Kentucky team is going to be bringing their big boy pants to Cardinal Stadium.
It's a huge moment on both sides. For Kentucky, like you just said, the reasons you just mentioned, but also if you lose here, you lose some momentum. You know, it's going to be kind of a weird offseason. Long term, you are fine. You're still probably going to bring in a really good class, and you're fine long term. But it puts you in a kind of a weird spot when you could have had a great offseason.
Right.
Because then I don't think the bowl game really matters. That's going to – you lose to Tennessee and Louisville in the last month of the season.
Yeah.
And both are kind of toss-up games. You couldn't get one. That's going to put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Yeah, you'd have to beat somebody crazy in the bowl game to
– See, I don't even know if the bowl game will matter at that point.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to get the opponent that you – like a brand name that can overcome two rivalry losses.
Yeah. And so that's on that end. Now, Louisville, I would argue it's bigger for Louisville because fan base has really not supported Satterfield yet. They've been on the fence. The South Carolina thing happened that pissed a lot of people off. This year's start day was not great, you know, just kind of survived. Now they look up, though, and they're like, oh, crap, we got one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy is doing some Lamar stuff. Satterfield 6-5, and a win here is just would be a huge win for them. It would be kind of a permanent marker point on the resume. Beat the best, one of the best Kentucky teams ever. Finally got it going, and then he has a team where he could, you know, they only had 12 seniors listed for senior day. When really kind of like double that is eligible to walk if they wanted to. Like they're going to return a lot of super seniors, and if they get Cunningham back, they're going to get preseason top 25 buzz. The schedule's more manageable next year, where they can really go on a run. But if he loses this game, then you look up and you're like, well, we're the best 6-6 team in the country, but he lost all these close games. And it's kind of a Scott Frost effect. Why can't you win these close games?
Mm-hmm.
After a while, it's not bad luck. It's you're not putting yourself in the best position to win games.
Right.
And so it's that dynamic, I think, is huge for this game, because no matter whoever loses this game is going to go in the offseason pissed off. And that's why I love this schedule, this game being at the end of the schedule, because it always creates that kind of scenario where you can one up the other before the offseason starts.
It's different, but also similar in just the way that the Lamar
it drives talking points, regardless, both of them.
When Kentucky beat Lamar, Kentucky was going in the game 6-5, and you know, you didn't feel great about the team. But you knew things were going in the right direction. You had kind of low expectations entering it. But that really got the ball rolling. A win for Satterfield here could really get the ball rolling.
Very similar.
Now, he doesn't have the recruiting that Stoops had built up at the time that like had the talent base ready. But he's kind of been fortunate enough with the COVID waiver and the transfer portal.
He's going to be able to return that and the extra eligibility. He's going to be able to return all these guys.
Help them enough, like put the Band-Aid on. But it can really get things rolling here in a rivalry that is just known to just swing back and forth. It takes big swings. You win three or four in a row, you lose three or four in a row. You win three or four in a row, you lose three or four in a row. Kentucky has to keep Louisville down, and they have to keep recruiting and developing and owning the state of Kentucky. Because like you said at the beginning, this is a Jimmy's and Joe's. You got a lot of Jimmy's from the state of Kentucky on your team, UK. Go keep reinforcing that belief, that notion that you are the big dog in this state.
Yeah, no doubt. I think just it's a huge game for both sides. Like Kentucky, I think long term they're going to be fine, but you got a chance to really kind of stick it to your rival here.
Mm-hmm.
Because now their fan base got all excited. There's now expectations for this game when the whole season we weren't expecting that.
Oh, they have hope. It's just like 2019. Yeah. They have hope.
you're a dog. It's a big moment for Satterfield and his coaching staff. I really do think that it's a big kind of selling point. It can give them momentum, which is something they've never really had. They had it a little bit in 2019, but then they got just dunked on by Kentucky in a year that kind of killed that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the COVID year was weird. They lost a lot of close games. You know, he comes back. The recruiting has been blah. I mean, the recruiting is like it's not terrible. He's just not recruiting Kentucky. If he was just getting some more kids from in-state, I don't think it would be as bad. No. But they're still – their average star rating is still in the 40s. It's just a different kind of strategy, and it's kind of – you don't buy yourself as much time, I think, when you do that if you're not getting hometown kids, because then people are going to be – that's low-hanging fruit people can get on you about. Why aren't you recruiting in-state?
Yeah, yeah. Man.
So it's just – it's a huge game, both sides, man. And then you look at Louisville's fourth quarters – like, if they get in a close game, they've puckered all year. Will that happen again? Kentucky's been good in the fourth quarter. Louisville's been bad.
Mm-hmm. I think the one exception, like I said earlier, that Tennessee game, and that was the old who's going to have the football last,
but
the brutal pick six in a shootout. You know,
it was bad, but it wasn't, Nick. Like, the defense got to stop when they had to have a stop. The offense got the ball back, went down, and just
caught
a couple bad breaks and didn't execute down at the end. So Kentucky, I even think they played good enough to win in that fourth quarter. It just they didn't finish the job. Where Louisville has been bad in some fourth quarters this year.
So I'm going to peel back the curtain briefly. Where I record my podcast in my office, it's basically a sunroom, and I can see out into the lady's backyard behind me. And she's chasing her dog around trying to get inside, and it will not come inside. It's pretty entertaining. Pretty entertaining.
Be outside. That's what I do.
They're little yappy dogs, and she didn't like them yapping. You know, which I get it. But, like, who wants a yappy dog? Which, by the way, we were hanging out with one of Brooke's friends has a dog that's just 130-pound, like, cane corso. Coolest, just so chill. And, like, bigger than that cornerback that Louisville's got. Thing is a friggin' hoss. Mm-hmm. Duke was a big fan of it. He just, big dog. The big dog, he could be barking along with Liam Coleman and Scott Woodward on Wednesday. We'll tell you more about that just right after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Wednesday afternoon, Barry M. Brown is announcing his college decision. There was some whispers that it could happen over the weekend, but you want to talk about ending on a high note, keeping the momentum rolling, getting a five-star recruit, a top 50 player, an exceptionally fast wide receiver. That'll really do the trick right before you play your rival. So, like, this is one of those guys that you pop on the tape, and Lynn Bowden's the way that he beat guys was hilarious because he would just kind of go side to side and just make them look like they're they make them look like they're in slow motion. This dude just like, I mean, it's like Wile E. Coyote getting shot out of a cannon trying to get the Roadrunner. He's so fast.
Yeah,
like you think that
the football field,
the film is like spliced up. You're like, it's like what? And you mentioned track speed, 2-time state champion, 10.49, 100 meter. Like that's Olympic fast.
So yeah, I mean, it's depends how you know that translates to the 40, but you're looking at 4.4, 4.3 type speed.
Yeah, and not like the
and it's not just straight line
clocking it.
Yeah, he can stop and go and accelerate. Explode, change the direction. It's not just a straight line runner.
Yeah. There's some baggage here. But, you know, Kentucky, I think, is well aware of that. They're ready to handle it.
Yeah.
And they've done a pretty good job handling guys that bring a little extra luggage with them to Lexington.
It's a potential difference maker. Guy, that caliber you haven't really had in a position that – it's kind of been a weakness, but now you look at how they've recruited Nick. That thing's going to be a position of strength here in 2 years, the receiver. Dougie's going to have one of the top five or so receiver cores of SEC here in a couple years. You fix problems through recruiting. That's how you do it.
Jimmy's Wandell, and Joe's.
Wandell's going to give you a bridge. Hopefully Taj Harris provides you another bridge, and then you got your guys, and you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah. Things are looking up on the recruiting end. Man, you know what I forgot to do too, Luckett? We started the show. We mentioned Feast Week. We even talked about our bowl of eggs, the Egg Bowl, Thanksgiving night. Man, is this the most anticipated Egg Bowl ever? Dare I say?
It's got to be. No, I would say the 2014
when they had Dak and that was probably, and Hugh Freeze was cheating his ass off.
That was the one.
Yeah. But this one's pretty close up there because Ole Miss has a lot to play for. I mean, if they win this, they could be tasting sugar, you know. So 10-win season on the line for the Lane Train. Now, is the game in Starkville? Or
it is. Davis-Wade Stadium.
Cowbells are going to be ringing. I haven't –
Mississippi State, like we talked about Kel Cunningham being the hottest player in the country. Mississippi State's one of the hottest teams.
Yeah,
right now.
And Will Rogers has been playing really well.
Everything is clicking for that offense.
Yeah, man.
Since they lost Alabama, they just hammered Vanderbilt, handled Kentucky, should have won at Arkansas. Kicker really did them dirty there. And then just blitzed all Auburn after the first quarter.
Man, they
– so and then they handle their business against Tennessee State. So they're really playing some good football right now.
Man, this is the numbers on this game too. 62 as the total feels about perfect because as much as we like to talk about the offenses, they both teams do like to limit possessions. But man, if it's like any other Egg Bowl I know, the Egg Bowl I know and love will get really weird in the second half and points will be flying left and right. Turnovers will happen. Man, I'm very much looking forward to that. Who needs the Saints and the Bills? Trevor Siemian, get that out of here. That's going to be a terrible game. Give me a bowl of eggs, Matt Corral, Will Rogers. We do need to reiterate that we are on the Ole Miss bandwagon because if they lose, it kind of complicates things, you know, as far as like the bowl pecking order. So we want the Rebs to take down the Pirate. And the Bulldogs from Mississippi State. But that game, it's going to be something else. There's a lot of – I mean, it is rivalry weekend. And there's coaches that have been fired. Dan Mullen's not going to try to get Florida to bowl eligibility. Oh, shucks. Can't believe it. Oh, no, Dan. And even as much as I like to hate on Eli Drinkwitz like it, I real got to recognize Rio. That was a great troll move bringing the lightsaber to the post-game press conference.
That was college football-esque. It just means more right there. He said apparently like it was the recruiting department like brought it up to him, and they were just like, we're just going to leave it there. You do what you want with it, was kind of the story they were telling.
Well, they almost did something similar where somebody put a banana on Stoops' podium because Levis had 400 yards. And They didn't stay up there, though. I don't think he was ready to chow down on a unpeeled banana to celebrate the win over New Mexico State. Is that what rivalry are you most looking forward to this weekend outside of our Egg Bowl and, of course, the Governor's Cup?
This is a huge bedlam, but Louisville, Kentucky's going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, Ohio State, Michigan, I would say, can Harbaugh give themselves a puncher's chance to win that game, or give themselves a chance in the fourth quarter to win it?
I mean, if that would be
this is the first time he's got them at home, though, with like a legit chance to win, I think. So that the other times it's been at Ohio State. So I think that's important to remember. But yeah, that's a big moment for him. But they've overachieved. This team is not. They shouldn't be doing what they're doing right now. So I don't, you know, but it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter. He's judged in that vacuum.
Yeah. However, can you judge that much the way that Ohio State's playing right now? I mean,
yeah, that offense, right?
My God, they have just been, whew, that was just unfair. Seemingly unfair.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see. 2 weeks ago, Ohio State kind of struggled on the road at Nebraska. This is our first road trip since then. So, I mean, we'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, I mean, Ohio State's got the better players. Rivalry game, is the Jimmy and Joe show up. Usually they do, because both teams have equal motivation, seemingly, in these games.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not everything. So you'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
So that would be the one that I'll get to see. I would say that got my interest the most. Bedlam, obviously, will be.
Yeah, that'll be
working away.
Working away, drinking beers up in the press box, chowing down at the carving table. It's your first trip to Papa Murphy's. Like it, if you are going out to Papa Murphy's, I don't recommend getting it. It's not great. I also would say it's kind of funny that people are like, that's a dangerous part of town. If you're from out in the state, Louisville is not scary, folks. Louisville is a fine place. When bad things happen, they happen at bad times of night, stuff like that. Like it's
not in a bad neighborhood. No,
it's in my neighborhood. I'm right down the street.
But there will be some fist fights Saturday night.
Probably so. You're gonna.
I'm very interested to see how that crowd looks. Like what? How much does it fill in? What's the split?
Yeah, I have no idea. I really don't.
The only thing I'm sure of is Kentucky's going to have a good chunk of it. I just don't know how much that chunk's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like it's going to be kind of a walk-up. It helps that it's at night, but it hurts the weather.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of what my wife's doing, tailgating, and then go watch it somewhere else.
Right. A lot of people doing that just because it's the more comfortable way to go. Tailgate scene's pretty decent around there. I'm looking forward to not having to drive home very far after the game. So that's exciting. And I've had some memorable, the last two times I've been to Cardinal Stadium, Kentucky beat Lamar and then won by 46. So
the road team in this series has performed pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of an anomaly in 2019 that Kentucky just hammered Louisville at home, but the road team has performed very well in this game in the past.
Yep.
Fascinating matchup. If Kentucky goes in there, doesn't get hangs in there in the turnover column, and then can take away the big chunk plays from Louisville, I think they got a really good chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's easier said than done, but I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. The old recruiting and Jimmy's and Joe's in this, and how they're doing this two different ways. Now that they both get out of their conference, what does that look like when they play each other?
You know, there's no I in team. I don't think there's a – yeah, there's one I in Cunningham. You can – if you did Mikhail, I think you can get me out of there, but you can't with Malik. I don't know. Is he Mikhail or Malik? I guess he's mm-hmm. Malik. There's no I or me in that. Get the hell out of here, Cunningham. You can't do this all by yourself. You can't beat an SEC football team by yourself. You might hang around for a little while, but Kentucky's going to take care of business on Saturday.
I expect a few personal fouls, both sides.
Oh, man. Looking forward to those personal fouls. Looking forward to it all. It's going to be an exciting Saturday at Cardinal Stadium. It's been an exciting season, and Kentucky's going to end it with an exclamation point. It's been fun. I'm glad you all followed along with us this entire year here on 11 Personnel. Obviously, we're not done. As Mark Soup said, we're just getting started.
365 podcast.
Exactly.
365 Personnel.
But, you know, it's been a fun year. We celebrated Senior Day with some cold brew dads at Luckett's home, his home turf. It was a great time. And hopefully we'll be celebrating some more brew dads Saturday night.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait. Until then, we'll see you on the other side. Go Cats and go Kroger.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.